Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Electric bikes and scooters. Are they becoming a total menace? Well, if you ask some pedestrians and drivers, they'd say, yep, while others seem to get the thrill.
Well, no, I'm going to a trip in Europe and I'll be using an e-bike, so I'm definitely for e-bikes. I just think they need to be tempered. They, you know, when you're running along a path and somebody runs, go by you close at 20 miles an hour, that you could have a pretty bad accident. So they're quiet, they're fast, they just need to be controlled better.
Well, I love them. I think they're great. I understand people's dislike for them in heavy populated areas. Yeah. And of course, this sort of thing relies on good people.
Being like a nurse, I feel like people who don't like work in the hospital have no clue how many like injuries happen from them, because there's no reason you should be able to get on something that can go up to like, I don't know, like isn't it like 30 miles per hour, like 4, I don't even know, like without a helmet.
I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Some of the biggest culprits on e-bikes and e-scooters are teens. No helmet, no license. They're just out here living the fast life. But several Chicago suburbs are toughening up on the rules because the joyrides are leading to more crashes. So here's what you'll get out of this conversation. Number one, what's the root of the problem? Why can't walkers, drivers, and scooters all just get along? Two, we'll dig into the new laws being put in place to increase safety. And three, we'll discuss how to get to a middle ground so that the people who need access to them can ride e-bikes without hiccups. At the table, we had Jim Merrill, Advocacy Director for Active Transportation Alliance, Dave Simmons, Executive Director of Ride Illinois, and Craig B. Johnson, Mayor of Elk Grove Village, joined us by phone. First, Dave gave us a crash course on the different types of e-bikes that you might come across on the trails or street.
There are three legal classes of e-bikes. To get into the specifics, a class one e-bike is a pedal assist e-bike that has a maximum speed of 20 miles an hour. A class two has a throttle, so one doesn't have to pedal, also a maximum speed of 20 miles an hour. And then a class three, similar to class one, pedal assist and has a maximum speed of 28 miles an hour. What we're finding is the term e-bike is kind of bringing other devices into the conversation that aren't actually e-bikes. So what we really want to get through today is define what e-bikes are and then define these other things, which are really the devices that are causing problems on roads in the state and mm-hmm. municipalities.
Yeah. And a lot of the chatter, Jim, is regarding the fact that they can be dangerous. They're causing some accidents, some crashes, and lots of injuries. So walk us through some of the stories that you've heard on what's been happening when folks are riding these e-bikes or e-scooters.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of what we've heard comes from conflicts on trails or in bike lanes. So mm-hmm. people are not used to having someone who's going up to 30 miles an hour kind of and quietly kind of blowing by them. And in particular, in those trail settings, when folks are you know jogging and riding at a slower pace, that can create a really you know dangerous conflict and really you know kind of eliminate all the wonderful quality of life things that those trails bring us. Mm-hmm. So it's that conflict, just like with cars, of faster moving traffic alongside slower moving traffic.
Yeah,
that's really kind of the crux of the issue, and that's what you know Dave is saying is about kind of really understanding how these different types of electronic mobility devices have different power and can move at different speeds and mm-hmm. really have very different kind of safety profiles.
Yeah, and I think the thing is that people have to use them in the ways in which they're meant to be used. I mean, I'm thinking of times where I was walking and someone zips right by me on the sidewalk when they're not supposed to be right on the sidewalk with these devices. Mayor, let's bring you in here. What are some of the stories you've been hearing in Elk Grove?
Well, this is a problem obviously been growing over time, and it's actually something that probably every mayor in this country is wrestling with. And so we talk all the time. So we've actually been looking at this Elk Grove for about a year and a half, mm-hmm, and studying what other communities have done, not done, states done, not done. And we finally got to the point where the main problem we see is not so much adults on paths, maybe adults, but on the roads are the younger people. And that's why our law is predicated in Elk Grove Village, children's safety comes first. And so we want to make sure, because remember, these are motorized modes of transportation, whether you drive a car, a motorcycle, or an e-bike, they're motorized modes of transportation. And they have a different responsibility and different characteristic than just riding a normal bicycle or a normal scooter. So that's why they have to be addressed in certain ways and others are not. So, you know, we finally, as most towns are starting to do, we had enough of it. The risk is too great. Injuries are occurring. Safety for everyone involved was growing. And so that's why we stepped forward and made the ordinance we did. The only unfortunate thing is we shouldn't have to be doing this. Because they're technically motorized vehicles or motorized modes of transportation, mm-hmm, the state should step in. The state should set, just like they do for cars, whether it's gas or electric-powered cars, just like they do for motorcycles, which are gas motorcycles, they should set a uniform code, laws, how they can be used, where they can be used, and what age people, and so on. And that way we have a uniformity in the state. Instead of, for example, we have laws, but we don't require helmets. If you go to Schaumburg, across the street from our town to Schaumburg, you now have to have a helmet on. So by uniformity, like they do with motorized vehicles, it makes it even all the way through, so there's right, no confusion and not understanding what's going on.
Yeah, Jim and Dave, I'm interested to hear how you feel about this. Dave, you gave the mayor a thumbs up when he mentioned younger people.
Yeah, yeah.
What came to mind?
I think the point there is with the young kids, none of those kids are riding legal e-bikes. So we agree that there needs to be effort to define what has come to be known as out-of-class electric vehicles or e-motos. These are the things that can go faster than 28 miles an hour.
So what the kids are riding, does it look different than a legal e-bike?
They look like
e-bike?
Little mini e-bikes. Or
is that
mini,
why people are confused?
Legal e-bikes are sold and they only fit adults. There are no legal children's e-bikes. So the kids that are riding things that they're buying online. They likely have a motor greater than 750 watts, and they can go faster sometimes than 28 miles an hour. The focus needs to be on those devices, and those devices need to stand alone. The ordinances that we're seeing, which are really all over the board, should not be focused on legal classes of e-bikes, which the state has already implemented protections on.
Sounds like what they're able to access online is making things worse.
Absolutely.
For everyone else on the roads. Jim, your view on something else that the mayor brought up here, regulation of e-bikes and scooters when it comes to or the difference, rather, or as compared to regulation for cars. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, and you know, it's always a good point. And I think it's important to call out that, you know, cars are responsible for 99.9% of serious injuries and fatalities on our roadways. They are much more powerful than even the e-motos, much heavier. And so, you know, the force of an impact with the car, the potential for grave bodily harm is significantly more. And so while a lot of this behavior that we see with e-bikes and e-motos can sometimes be frustrating or feel kind of antisocial, it's kind of a drop in the bucket compared to the actual roadway safety issue, which is really around cars. And that's why we have, you know, much more stringent rules around driver's license and things like that.
Yeah, lots of regulation, you know, lots of signage on the road, speed cameras, all those things to try to keep drivers in line. But sometimes things work and sometimes they're ineffective.
Right, exactly. And I think to your point, we have seen that, you know, asking people nicely to follow the rules doesn't always work. You know, we're big proponents of infrastructure being the way to really shape behavior. And so we could redesign roadways to get people to slow down. We can create safer spaces for people to ride e-bikes. And I think it really does kind of come down to this better classification and understanding that you know, we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater when it comes to having this great new accessibility tool, which opens up biking and mm-hmm. a sustainable way to get around, which is these e-bikes with the three classes that Dave was talking about, and the e-motos, which are a very separate kind of animal.
Are e-motos like the divvy bikes that I see all around town?
So the divvy bikes only go 20 miles an hour. Those would be a class one e-bike.
So they don't fall as...
No,
in that e-moto category.
So those are the ones that that go 20 miles per hour, and you have to be pedaling for the motor to kick in. And what we've seen there, and I think it's really important to highlight, is that those are incredibly popular, and have in particular. And so Divvy is great because we get a lot of data, right? And so when we just had the conventional bikes on Divvy, you know, there was a lot of usage. When the e-bikes came online, you saw a huge growth, particularly in places where the conventional bikes weren't as popular, mm-hmm. and places like on the south and west side.
Right.
And so you're seeing these are a much more practical transportation option for a wider group of people and residents. And so we don't want to cut off that opportunity for folks to have another kind of tool in their transportation toolbox.
Yeah. So, you know, as part of the broader discussion, we did have some of our listeners reach out to us if they had concerns or any thoughts on e-bikes and e-scooters, any experience with them. I want to play a clip from Erin in Woodridge. This is what she had to say.
E-bikes are a huge problem. I have a soon-to-be 13-year-old who has friends whose parents buy them these things. They somehow cut off the speed limit. They make them faster. They don't wear helmets. It's so incredibly dangerous. And I know that Downers Grove is starting to have really strict rules and laws regarding e-bikes. They're already on the books. I wish they were in all the suburbs and all the villages. And, you know, that there are real consequences. I think they should be impounded. I think that parents should be fined for purchasing these things. And I just think that they should be outlawed because they're incredibly dangerous for the kids that are riding them and for the people who are driving cars and around, because there have been so many problems and so many accidents. Thanks for talking about this issue.
So, Mayor Johnson, as I said earlier, you in Elk Grove have enacted tougher laws around this issue. So just walk us through exactly what you've changed and what led to the change.
Well, what we've done is, and please understand, we're not against e-bikes. We're not against scooters. What we've done in Elk Grove is, if you're going to use any kind of motorized motor transportation on a road, you need to be a licensed driver. And the reason behind that is, that way you've gone through training for rules of the road. You've gone through licensing to make sure you're physically able to handle a vehicle or operate a motorized vehicle on the road. You've gone through as much as the state can do to have you prepared and ready to use it. So, again, people can use scooters. They can use e-bikes on our roads as long as you have a license. And people say, well, what about people who don't have a license? Well, first off, people who don't have a license are one of two categories. Either one, they're under a certain age. And the state and most states throughout this country have determined until you're age 16, they don't feel that you are capable of driving a motorized vehicle on a public roadway. So we have followed basically the same guidelines that the whole country follows. So, again, you can use them, but you have to be licensed driver. And that's a big step. Then people say, well, Mayor, what about someone who has a DUI, doesn't have a license? Well, my view is this. If the state has deemed you not able or eligible to use a motorized vehicle on the road, why should we say, no, you're wrong, state, we're going to let you use it? So if people cannot get a license because whatever may be, physical situations and the rest, we're not going to overrule that. Because if you think about it, an right. e-bike and a scooter is going to lose the battle if it's involved in an accident with a car. It's never going to win.
Yeah.
You know, that safety comes first. Secondly, in our town, now e-bikes can't be used on sidewalks because that's state law. That's not local law. State law prohibits those being utilized on sidewalks. Now, scooters, motorized scooters, we do allow to be used on sidewalks. So, and someone says, well, I can't get a license. Well, use it on a sidewalk. Now, our law says you have to use common courtesy with pedestrians and others, but you can utilize. If you don't have common courtesy, you can be given a citation by the village on what they call a C-ticket. So, you know, they can't be utilized. So if someone says, well, you know, my son can't use it for 6 months because his license is suspended, use a scooter on the sidewalk. You're able to do that. That is allowed.
Right.
But
yeah.
Not in the road.
Yeah, and other suburbs are joining the fight here. You know, Fox Lake, as we just heard this week, passed a new ordinance that's prohibiting these high-speed e-bikes and e-scooters from using sidewalks and pathways. Dave and Jim, I got to hear from you. Dave, Elk Grove happens to be your neck of the woods. Yep. You disagree, though, with some of these new regulations. Tell us why.
Yeah, well, I think the state regulations, again, regarding legal e-bikes, make sense. Not on a sidewalk, 16 or older for a Class 3 e-bike. Where the attention should be directed, and the caller who mentioned Woodridge, when you talk about kids or you talk about going 30 miles, you're not talking about e-bikes. So when communities introduce ordinances, and now you've got the public talking about it, you've got elected officials talking e-bikes, it's confusing the public. Mm. It's really doing a great disservice.
And I also want to be clear, it's not just kids, right? There's a lot of focus on teens, but
yeah,
everybody uses
correct.
E-bikes and e-scooters, right?
The reality is cars cost $50,000. The average car price is just under $50,000. People spend upwards of 30% of their income on transportation. People want different ways to get around. Every community, whether it's wealthy or low income, have some portion of the population that can't afford a car, can't afford a second car, and are looking for sustainable, practical ways to get around.
Mm-hmm.
The communities that embrace these new modes and plan for these new modes in their future transportation plans are the communities where people are going to want to live, work, and play. So the attention really needs to be on out-of-class electric vehicles or e-motos, crack down on kids that are doing things they shouldn't be doing, crack down on these vehicles that can go 30 miles an hour, but embrace e-bikes. And a low-speed e-bike, I fully disagree that one needs to have a driver's license. We want kids to experience their community, whether it's by walking or biking or even a low-speed e-bike. That's a great way to learn their surroundings. Another area, and this is where municipalities can help, focus on defining what an out-of-class electric vehicle is mm-hmm. in the Illinois Vehicle Code.
I think clear definitions are
clear
needed
definition,
all around.
And then these ordinances really need to be revised immediately. Another area is education, and it's something Ride Illinois has been working on, Active Trans as well, education in schools for bike walk safety.
Yeah.
How do you safely navigate your communities? By having a kid go through driver's ed, love our driver's ed teachers, and then tossing them the keys, that is not a recipe for success.
Yeah, Jim, weigh in here, you know, because when you think about it, our infrastructure here in this city and the surrounding areas, it's still very car-focused, car-centric. What can we do, you think, to shift a focus so that e-bikes and e-scooters and bikes can maybe come first?
Yeah, it's all about, you know, creating, we believe in, you know, separate spaces for people who are on different modes. And so here in the city of Chicago and in a lot of suburbs, you've seen a really big build out of on-street protected bike lanes that have some kind of physical separation between people biking or using e-bikes and not e-motos, vehicle traffic. And that creates a really comfortable, lower stress environment. And I think that's a critical thing to understand, that if someone is going to kind of change their behavior, they want to know that they're going to feel comfortable doing it and they're going to be able to arrive safely at their destination.
Mm-hmm.
And so providing that safe place for them to ride, making sure it's connected infrastructure and that it's car-free, either a protected bike lane or a trail is really critical. I do want to go back to the licensing conversation, because unfortunately...
Yeah, where do you stand with that one?
Unfortunately, I mean, you know, if most drivers on a roadway do have driver's license, and we still see, an untenably high number of fatalities and injuries. So that system that we have doesn't really lead to safer outcomes or better behaviors. And what we've seen work...
You're saying being licensed, having a driver's license doesn't necessarily lead to
alone
roads.
Right, I mean, it's important to have this education, and we need people to have license have a driver's license, but when it comes to the impact on their reckless driving habits, the thing that actually changes behavior is changing the way roads are designed. So mm-hmm. narrowing travel lanes gets people to slow down naturally. People hate automated speed enforcement cameras, but those do work to get people to slow down. Things like that are actually what changes behavior versus creating an enforcement paradigm where, you know, I think a lot of these, I'm curious if, you know, there's really capacity to actually get the outcome that some of these regulations and ordinances are seeking.
Yeah.
Because it requires a lot of work from you know, law enforcement officers who already are being asked to do so many other things.
Yeah. Mayor, was there any consideration when drafting up this legislation that there are people who don't have public transit as an option? What about people who rely on this form of transportation? Are you sort of leaving those folks out, or adults who don't have a driver's license? What about them?
Well, again, they have an option. If they want to get a scooter, an e-bike, the state prohibits most of them on the sidewalk that they would want to use and on the street. That. But I have to disagree with a couple of your guests today. Motorized, 20 miles an hour, they think it's not a big deal. Next time you drive your car, open your door a little bit and look down that pavement going 20 miles an hour and see how fast you're going. It's very fast. And so, therefore, when you say, well, it's only 20 miles an hour, that is a very fast speed. That can cause serious injuries when people go down riding that kind of speed on an e-bike. So, again, we're not attacking e-bikes. We have nothing against e-bikes. We're not attacking electric scooters. Nothing against it. What we're saying is to operate them on a public roadway with 3,000-pound cars right next to you, you need to have some experience and age behind you. It's been proven over the years. That's why the age is 16 for getting a license. You need that. Remember this. If 20 miles an hour is an e-bike, there's not a street in any village around here that the speed limit is 20 miles an hour. Everyone's going at least 25 to 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
That's the posted speed limit on most streets. Again, so if you say, well, e-bike's only 20, well, that's causing a problem because that means cars are constantly trying to go around the e-bikes to keep going because e-bike's going 5 to 10 miles an hour slower than the speed limit.
So, Mayor, is there a middle ground here that we can meet, like a halfway point when we try to strike a balance between anti-e-bike policy and pro?
Again, it's not, and that's what I'm saying, Sasha, is wrong. It's not anti-e-bike. All we're saying, just like a car, cars are great, but only certain people can drive a car. A 13-year-old, a 12-year-old, 11-year-old can't drive a car.
Restrictions.
They have been deemed over years that they cannot mentally, physically be mature enough to handle that. Same thing on these types of vehicles, because they are vehicles. They might be electric, but they're vehicles, motorized vehicles, not run by gas, but they're that way. If they were gas, they'd call them motorcycle. They'd have all different rules. So what we're saying is we're not against these. We just think it's better use that the people on public roadways with other vehicles joining them should be of a mature age and proven ability to handle it, driver license ability. You still ride the scooters, don't go on sidewalks. One last thing if I can.
Sure.
It's a great idea. You're right. They have bike lanes and all the rest around the world. The bottom line is our roads were never built and designed for. In order to meet that, a lot of our roads are too thin for them, too narrow. A lot of this can be done, but it's going to take many years to rebuild roads, build infrastructure to handle excess stuff such as e-bike lanes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think we all agree at the table that the infrastructure does need to be bolstered, right? Last word to you, Dave and Jim, real quick before we go here. Dave, I know you're bursting at the seams here to say something.
I am. I mean, we need to differentiate between legal classes of e-bikes. The speed limits on the road are a limit. It's not a recommendation. It's the fastest speed you should go. And so with an e-bike, or at what point do we slide in saying bicycles are not allowed on our roads? Bicycles are legal vehicles in the state of Illinois.
I think it's the speed thing. That's the speed.
Sure.
Is what's
and someone
in question.
On a bicycle can go 15. Someone on a bicycle can go 20. So the focus should be on safely integrating these new modes. By strictly banning them, that does not solve the issue. And the communities that are, again, embracing these modes, that's where people want to be.
Jim?
I think, people who are interested in solving this issue, I'd encourage them to work with us on, you know, identifying what are some state regulations or federal regulations where it could be much more appropriately legislated and get us, again, without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, we want to make e-bikes as accessible to as many people as possible to shift them out of car trips and into a more sustainable and more healthy modes.
Yeah, we'll leave it there for now. So much more we could have discussed here. Jim Merrill is Advocacy Director for Active Transportation Alliance. Craig B. Johnson's Mayor of Elk Grove Village. And Dave Simmons, Executive Director of Ride Illinois. Thank you all so much. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by William Balk and edited by Dan Tucker. It was mixed by Meha Ahmed. Reset brings you the conversations that help you better understand what's going on in your own backyard. So keep on listening. And if you have a suggestion for a future show, shoot us an email at reset@wbez.org. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll meet again tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.